If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. I don't know how much to give this morning. A little bit unsure as to how far to take it. I had actually thought for a while and still am a little hesitant here. But to read the passage of Scripture and then let the Lord talk to you about it in the quietness of your day. If your day is quiet, hopefully you have a portion of the Lord's day that is quiet. Sometimes we fill things up with so many other activities that it's hard to find a quiet time even on the Lord's day. But we should. But this passage of Scripture is not quite a parallel exactly to a New Testament passage, but there are some similarities. This here's a story that God gives in the New Testament in Matthew's Gospel. There's a story that has the same basis that Jesus gives as a parable. In this chapter, we'll find as the story closes that God goes into a bunch of woes. Woe unto, or such like. Jesus follows his parable up a couple of chapters later in the book of Matthew with some additional woes in that time. And so it would give us an understanding or an idea that there is something of concern in these stories, in these accounts. Something for us to take into consideration for ourselves, personally, for our families, and once again for our church. We could even take it beyond that, but we don't want to get clouded with the broadness of our thoughts and lose sight of what needs to be narrow, specific. Isaiah writing, believe under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God-breathed words. If you have your Bible there, open to Isaiah chapter 5, follow along as I read, beginning with verse number 1. And now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. It's an astounding question that he uses there, that he presents there. The explanation is that, or the need for explanation comes when we realize that he had done everything that he thought he could do to produce a quality crop. He gives us a few details. First of all, it was planted in a very fruitful hill. It was a very fruitful location. It had good soil. It had great potential. By looking at this fruitful hill that he saw and he planted his vineyard in, he had full expectation that that soil would be a blessing to him in a recovered crop. But not only that, not just that the soil was so good, not just that the location was prime, but he went so far as to build a fence, build a hedge about it. He did everything that he could to remove the rocks that may have been involved with that fertile location. He took those stones and he removed them so that it would be even better than what it was. And he built the fence, he built the hedge, he even built a tower in the midst of it. He was so confident in what he was doing that he built a wine press. He built and designed the thing that was going to be able to take the crop and produce the financial return that he was looking for. Have you ever planted grapes? This is what the story is about. It could be any crop that you've planted. I believe that from what he's writing here, what he's telling us, he didn't wait to the end of the season when Lowe's put their grapes on 50% off and then went to purchase grapes. He says he planted the choicest grapes. I don't know what the choicest grapes would be. Did he order them from Gurney's catalog? From some other mail order place? Whatever the case may have been, he planted the best that he could find. As you read this, you'll know that he's talking about his people, his chosen people. Jerusalem and men of Judah. He's talking to them specifically. He's wanting to know what it is that he could have done more. What else could he have provided? What else could he have done that would have been better than what was already there? We think about it in our own personal lives. We bring it over into an application to our lives or a point in our particular lives. We would say that he fenced it in by divine laws and providential circumstances. Divine laws and providential circumstances. That's the fencing that he put around the vineyard. He provided everything that he could in order to produce the best of fruit. But in the end, when the final thing was written, the only thing that he had to say about his crop was that it produced undesirable grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. Wild grapes are sour, wild grapes are hard, wild grapes are small. They're not the best of grapes. At least they're not what we would look at to put in the refrigerator and take out a handful at a time and devour them for their sweetness. It was a disappointing harvest. You leave the story of the vineyard and you drop down to verse number 8 and continue through the end of the chapter and you find all of the woes that he lists there. And you'll find that this is the circumstance of the vineyard, the spiritual side of what is taking place. You'll find that there's greed, there's selfishness. It's a self-centered people that he's referring to. You'll find as you read through there that there's also a problem with people being pleasure hungry. Pleasure hungry to the point that it was producing a dead conscience. Pleasure hungry to the point that they were spiritually insensitive. We live in an age like that today. So spiritually insensitive that we don't even realize how the world, the sin that is around us, is beginning to dust us, to taint us. So spiritually insensitive that they don't realize that the pleasure that they are hungering after, seeking after, the fun and the games that they are longing for are not leading them to Christ, but leading them away from Christ. Verse verse number 18 gives us the understanding that sin in its beginning is a fine hair string, but its end is a cart rope. No, you don't find those exact words listed in your King James translation, but that's the gist of what is being said. Sin in its beginning is a fine hair string, but in the end is a cart rope. There's a perversion of values that's found in this chapter. A perversion of values that would attempt to change the name of a snake. But you can change the name of a snake and it's still a snake. You can call it what you want to, but it's still a snake. There's such a conceited self-sufficiency in this chapter, in this people that God is talking to and referring to, that they do not need what God has for them. Whether it could be somebody being so bold to say that I don't need dad's Christ or mom's Christ or grandpa's Christ or this church's Christ, that may be the bold side. But more than likely, it's not the case among us. It's not the problem among you and I. That's something that would be far away from us. But sometimes because of the direction that we're going and perhaps the pleasure that is being sought and desired, that we are losing sight of God's prescribed laws. We live in a nation that has laid aside God's prescribed laws for marriage. We live in a nation that has laid aside God's prescribed laws for bringing up children. We have laid aside so many of God's prescribed laws, and here it is 2012, and we are looking with mouth hanging wide open, wondering how did we get here? But you see, we didn't get here just in my generation. We got here through several generations. Just the small changes that may have taken place. I don't need to follow God's prescribed plan. You see, it's different for me and my circumstances. It's different because of what I'm doing or what I'm involved with or what I want. You see, it's different because of my circumstances. God's prescribed laws are not adjusted to circumstances that may change with time. God's prescribed laws are eternal. When we begin to move in that direction where we do not follow God's prescribed plan because it's different for us, we arrive at the same place that Israel did on a number of occasions, and it's recorded in Scripture that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. But let's come back to the story. What could have been done more? You see, he gave and he gave and he gave. He provided and provided some more. What else could he have done? God's still providing for his people. He's still providing the means for people to make it to heaven. He's still providing what is necessary. His word is still giving us a prescription for how to live to make it to heaven. Those of us that have Christian homes are blessed because of our heritage of a Christian home, a Christian family. We are blessed this morning to be able to come to church, to sit in God's house. We have been blessed this morning to sit in God's presence, to allow His smile to shine upon this gathering this morning by allowing His Holy Spirit to move among us. We have been blessed. We are a blessed people because of the prescription that God has given us to study His Word and the opportunity that is ours in our day and our traditions through Sunday school, to be able to study what God's Word has to say. We are blessed in this day, for the most part, to be able to attend church where a shepherd is concerned about the sheep. Makes it a little bit difficult, the pastor speaking those words, but you see, that's the prescription that God has given for the New Testament church. Whether we fully utilize that or allow that to be an aspect in our lives is a choice to be made individually. But you see, that's part of the prescription. That's part of the fencing. That's part of what He has done to provide a good crop, harvest. Surrounded by love, surrounded by prayers, surrounded by concern, surrounded by rebukes, surrounded by admonition. We can talk about a lot of things that God surrounds us with, but if the end result is still the same as what this vineyard's result was, it brought forth wild grapes, then we have to stop and ask ourselves the question, what else could be done? You see, it wasn't in the lack of what God provided for the vineyard. It was the lack of people following the prescription of the vineyard. Pleasure-seeking, selfish, moral values darkened, and self-sufficiency. The end result for Israel was exile, famine, thirst, problems, discouragement. They had an emptiness. There was a void, an internal void. It tells us also in verses 14 and 15 how in the world it fits into here is hard for us to understand, but here it is. God's word tells us that hell hath enlarged itself. There's a consuming fire in verse 24 because they have cast away the law of the Lord and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 25 tells us that His anger was kindled against His people. How much of a greater sacrifice could He have done, could He have made for us? What else could He have done? What else could He have prescribed? The bottom line for the prescription comes down to what Joshua said. When Joshua challenged the people of Israel, realizing that they had experienced so much in the way of God's plans of redemption for them out of Egypt, and God's providential plans and all the blessings that God gave to them, Joshua still realized that it would come down to one thing. God couldn't do any more than what He had already done. It wasn't that God was shortchanging them and not giving them more blessings because they really should have more, and that's what was going to salvage them or to produce them into what He wanted them to be. But what they needed was what Joshua challenged them to choose you this day. You see, it's a personal choosing, a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, because Jesus tells us we cannot serve two masters. Choosing God is a selfless obedience. Peter tells us in his second epistle that we should give diligence to make our calling and election sure. There's a diligence that we must put forth in order to follow with selfless obedience. So as you look at this, and perhaps even though I carried on and spoke longer than what I thought perhaps I should or would, what is it that could go through your mind in the quietness of the day or the quietness of the nighttime, even yet tonight, about the vineyard that God has provided for us? Fenced us in, cleaned out the rocks, and He's provided so many things. Will He say in the end that the grapes were sour, that the grapes were hard, and the grapes were small? Or did He use the wine press to produce what he looked for in a harvest. It's God's vineyard. It's God's prescription for life. It's up to us how we live it out. Let's stand together this morning.